Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to The Kitchen Table. This is episode number 31. My name is Brian.
And I'm Jake.
Thanks for tuning in this week as we continue with our faith conversations around the kitchen table. Again, a recap if you're just joining the program for the very first time. We decided to do this program because Jake was finishing high school last year. He's now in college, and we wanted to have more time to have those faith conversations between generations, between parent and child. And so we decided to do this. And the whole purpose of us doing this is to encourage you to also have those faith conversations with your kids. So every week we do that. The show sort of lays out like this. We do a faith conversation for about 20 minutes. Then we move into a segment
called Music Matters. And Dad and I are both big music people. He kind of raised me on his old music. So I was a cultured child. I knew what Stryper was when I was six. So I was cultured.
And a lot of people would disagree that that's cultured, but okay.
I mean, to you, I'm cultured at least. And then we move into a segment called Culture Shock. And that's where we kind of, what's happening in the world today.
Something happening in our culture that we find something interesting about it and talk about that as well. So that's the program in a nutshell. This week, we're actually going to be talking about pursuing meaningful friendships. I read a tweet about a week ago from Tim Keller that really intrigued me. In fact, I retweeted it. So the tweet says, "Everyone says they want community and friendship, but when that means accountability or commitment, people run the other way." And it's interesting, I kind of came up with this topic. I'm turning 50 this year, which means my high school class is turning 50. And so on our high school class Facebook page, someone made the suggestion, let's have a turning 50 bash this summer. So they want us all to get together, turning 50, and have a celebration, a milestone, so to speak. So I started thinking about that and my friendships. I have many friendships still with the people I went to high school with, but they're not those deep friendships. And many of the people I have friendships with in high school are not followers of Christ like I am. And so that affects that level of friendship. And so an event like this that's happening, I kind of ask myself, you know, it's an event. It's probably going to be nothing but a drunken bash.
Yeah.
That's not my value. I don't want to be a part of that. But I still like to see those friends.
Yeah.
So you're kind of torn at that situation. And so I started to dive in more to what it means to have meaningful friendships. They're so vitally important. And then how do we have those meaningful friendships with people that aren't followers of Christ, that don't share the same values? Is it possible? You know, because Bible talks about friendships and equally yoked and unequally yoked, and it's got a lot of things to say about it. But at the same time, we're supposed to share Jesus with others. And the best way of doing that is having friendships with those that don't know Jesus. So it's kind of this dichotomy that we're stuck in and trying to figure out the answer for it. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
I want to start here to show you how much friendship and the definition of friendship has changed. Webster's Dictionary from 1820 defines a friend this way: one who is attached to another by affection, one who entertains for another sentiment of esteem, respect, and affection, which leads to desiring their company and promoting their best interests. Do you think that defines a friend today? I mean, in the 21st century, how do we describe friendship? 21st century, because of technology, we have, quote, friends because of social media, but are they truly friends?
No, I think that's a big thing because you can have so many Facebook friends. Like, I think I have over 1,000, but I don't say that I have 1,000 friends. You know what I mean? I say that I have I have a lot of friends here at Olivet, but I have a close group that I'm very close with. And so I think that's also why we feel so alone nowadays, like especially the younger generation. That's because we have all this connection and all this these friends on Facebook, and then we feel, oh, we actually have like meaning in this life, because everyone thinks that the meaning of life comes through how many Twitter followers you have or how many Facebook friends.
How many likes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we get away from our phones and we get off social media and there's no one.
Right.
Because you just live your life on social media and there's no real life friends that you have.
This article I was reading said, our world has grown more technologically dependent and people have become increasingly cocooned in their houses, and the bonds of friendship have weakened and diluted down to mere acquaintances. Most people prefer today the superficial, easy, non-committal friendship, which is kind of a sad place to be.
Yeah, it is.
So there are functions of friends, and really you can classify these friends into categories. the friendships that you have on Facebook or whatever, those mm-hmm. are general friends. You're interested in your life in some degree. Maybe you went to school together years ago. They maybe will wish you a happy birthday because of Facebook. Now they more than likely yeah. know when your birthday is happening. They possibly, would they attend your funeral someday?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. So those are general friends. Well, then you have close friends. They spend a significant amount of time with you. They regularly socialize with you. They keep in contact. And these friendships, they can span years. And when you get back together, if you've been apart, it's like no time has passed. You just jump right into the conversation.
Uh-huh.
However, deep, lifelong friends is another thing. These are the friends that share Christ with you. They share church life with you. And you might have lifelong friends. For example, you might have family members that are not believers. You get together at holidays and general social activities. But is that really a deep, lifelong friendship you have with that person? Studies have shown that Christian converts who come to Christ through a friend are more long-term. It happens because it is only in the safe bounds of friendship that people are willing to listen and open up to you.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So the next level of friendship is that inner circle, which you sort of hinted at before. Yeah. You have an inner circle of friends. Typically within your inner circle are Christians, probably the same sex as you, who speak into your life, who advise you on problems and big decisions, who ultimately are shaping you because of the amount of time you spend together. These friendships affect your physical day-to-day activities. They affect your emotional well-being. They also affect your spiritual growth. So It's important in this realm of technological advances that we have an inner circle of friends.
Yeah.
Vitally important.
I also think that another important thing that we need to have as followers of Christ is to have a mentor.
Absolutely.
And
you should be mentoring someone yourself. Yeah, that's a part of the equation.
Exactly. When I was in high school, my English teacher, she was an English teacher, but also a life teacher.
Yeah.
Like she would spend some classes just talking about life. And it was great. Mrs. Erickson, if you're listening, thank you. I'm going to steal some of your stuff. But she always talked about your circle of influence.
Right.
So you were in the middle and then you did a circle around you and you said, who's influencing you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you drew another circle, you drew a big circle and you kind of like, this is you. And then you put a circle in the middle and like, who are you influencing?
Yeah. Right.
It stuck with me and that was 2 years ago.
So is it possible for a follower of Christ to have close friends with unbelievers and be pleasing to God at the same time? Do you think it's possible?
I think so. I mean, we are called to go to the end of the earth and to Judah and Samaria. And I think now, because I can't even tell you where Judah and Samaria are. Over there somewhere. I think that our Judah and Samaria and our end of the earth is the people that we would never talk to. The people that aren't like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I kind of am a kid that like always sat with the lonely kid, the weird kid. And I think that's kind of the modern day Judah and Samaria. The kids that aren't Christian or aren't cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It comes down to a question of what do you value? In Matthew 10:37, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's basically putting our value, our number one friendship in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have relationships that prevent us from doing what we know to be God's will for our life, a relationship that is taking the focus off of God, a friendship.
That is a hard thing to balance your friend over God.
You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah.
When a friendship starts and then you see someone sort of just drifting away from everything else.
It was hard because I'm the kind of person that I, as I said before, like I befriend people that usually aren't Christians because I want to be a good influence. And Mom always told me this, that both people get affected in a friendship.
It's true.
A bad influence is going to influence a good influence, and then a good influence will make a bad influence better. You have to find your boundary of where do I put my friend mm-hmm. and God first.
Right.
Well, God first in every case, but where do I set my boundary of, oh, this is too far. I don't want to do this. I don't believe in that.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Well, a lot of times we ask ourselves, well, why can't I win them for Christ? And that's why you have this friendship.
Yeah.
Paul in 2 Corinthians talked about, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that, of course, has been used many times in the marital relationship, the dating mm-hmm. relationship. But it can also be in the friend relationship. But what if I want to win them for Christ? How can I do that if I break off my relationship with them?
Yeah.
It is important that we be honest with ourselves because it will often have a disastrous effect. We try to help those who are not truly free to be helped. And some people just won't do that.
Yeah.
Even though we want to with all our soul, we want them to know Christ. We want them to know his love. It just doesn't work that way sometimes.
Yeah.
So we just have to be very cautious. I'm not saying it can't happen, because we should be doing that.
Yeah.
We should be making friends with those who don't know him.
Yeah. And the thing is, with parents especially, I'm talking to you, just because your child is befriending a person who's not a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. do not become immediate to judge that friend.
As a parent, yeah, in response to that, my interest lies in protecting you.
Yeah, I know. And I'm saying this because we had this before.
Oh, yes, we have.
And so you need to have some trust in your kid. Yes, you do have control and you can say, hey, I don't want you hanging out with him anymore. But the thing is, that kid probably needs your child.
Absolutely.
And so this other child has probably have abandonment issues, probably has a bad home life. You'd never know the situation, but if you pulling your child out of that kind of makes it worse, because you're taking a good influence out of his life. So just do not become quick to judge and be cautious.
Yeah, be cautious. Be open and be cautious.
Yeah.
And it can come to a point where you notice, and as a parent, and I'll just throw this out there, if you see the influence on your child becoming a negative thing, that's when the parent has to step in.
Yeah.
It just has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So true friends truly are hard to find. The essence of Christian friendship is companionship forged in the fire of two specific convictions. Christian friendship. One, Jesus alone can satisfy the soul. It's not going to be a friendship that satisfies your soul. Only Jesus. And his kingdom alone is worth living for. The best gift a friend can give is a commitment to fight for our joy in and communion with Christ. Friendship based in Christ is the best possible way to do that. Now, conversely, there's the opposite of that. There's the distortion of friendship, and that arises when a friend encourages us, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, to place our affections elsewhere. We have to be careful of that. We have to be cautious, open but cautious, like I mentioned.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
What are some of the characteristics of a Christian friend, a Christian friendship? True friends heighten the joy in God. Companionship always deepens joy. Say you want to watch your favorite movie, right? You can watch it by yourself, but isn't that favorite movie better if you have a friend? Or if you want to have your favorite meal by yourself, it's okay, but
yeah, it's better when you're in community.
Yeah. Remember all the joy in life, and we're going to talk about joy a little bit later in Culture Shock. God is our greatest joy. We were made for God, to enjoy him and center our hearts and lives on him. And that includes centering our friendships on him. Our joy in God will be fullest when we share it with other people. And that's why we want to have those friendships with those that don't know him yet. We want to share the joy that we've experienced with others. Again, being cautious. Yeah. Christian friends help us enjoy God by enjoying him with us. We will enjoy our friends more the more our friendships become a means of enjoying God. Another characteristic of a true Christian friend, and this is where it gets tough. True friends expose sin in us that keeps us from God.
Amen. It's a good one.
We need friends to lovingly show us our sin. Now, here's the issue. We always have everyone and the non-believer saying, well, you Christians, you're just being judgmental.
Yeah.
This is what it comes down to. A true friend. And I'm not telling you to judge people, but if you have a relationship with a true friend and you see something that's not right in their life
God. It's accountability. It's not judging.
It is. If I love my brother enough, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Those are the people I love. I'm not judging them. I want them to be better. I want them to be more like Christ. And you have to do it in such a loving way. So we need friends to lovingly show us our sin. We need friends to help us see our blind spots, and we all have them. We need friends to speak with brutal honesty, but also tender compassion. We need friends to tell us the truth about ourselves even when we don't want to hear it. This is a vital function of community. That's why we started with that quote from Tim Keller. You know, they want friendship and they want community. They don't want accountability. That's the hard part. We would much rather have friends who always tell us what we want to hear, who show us the false grace of excusing sin and give us false hope that we can grow closer to God without repentance. And that's just not the way it's done. We need true friends that encourage us to obey God.
Mm.
We need to spur each other on to obedience. Obedience to God takes more courage than we could ever come up with on our own. We need a faithful cheerleader. That's a true friend.
Yeah.
Look at the word encouragement. What's the word in the middle of encouragement? It's courage. Encouragement is giving courage and strength to others for the immediate task before them. We cast a bigger vision for why their obedience matters for God's kingdom. We affirm that their obedience glorifies God and counts in eternity. Encouragement from a friend motivates us to continue running the specific race that God has marked out for us. True friends bring us closer to God in our weaknesses.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
This is too hard to be attempted alone.
Yeah.
God didn't make us alone. He realized he created Adam. It's not good for him to be alone. That's what scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he created Eve.
Yeah.
That's why he formed the family unit. That's why we have church the way it is. It is community. We can't do this alone.
Yeah. Actually, so we're sitting in the studio. I kind of procrastinated and I'm typing my paper right now. And I just typed the line. I was talking about how we are sinful people and that we need to live out our lives for Christ and grow to try and be more like Christ. And I said, yes, we are imperfect, but Jesus died for us and forgave us for our sins. And that is also why we have friends, because they come behind us and keep us accountable to live more like Christ each day. And I was like, wow, this actually really fits in. And so that's why I shared it right here.
Alone, we buckle under the weight of sin.
Yeah.
Alone, we grow discouraged. We grow weary. Think about the story of the paraplegic in the Bible. His friends brought him on the mat. He couldn't do it on his own. His friends had to bring him. They had to tear open the roof. They had to lower him down into the house because they couldn't get in. That's it. We need the help of others to carry us to God sometimes. That's another mark of a true Christian friendship. True friends love us for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. That includes friendships.
Yeah.
We need to encourage and affirm one another, but Christian friends should be far more focused on God's weight and significance, not on our own or our own friends. The end goal of our friendship should be God and his glory. Since our hearts are prone to wander and worship other things, we need these constant reminders of his glory and his worth in our friendships.
Yeah.
So meaningful conversations with non-believers. Relationships are complicated, we know that. Communication between two individuals is often fraught with miscommunication, and timing isn't always right, and sometimes you're just not in the mood. But when we're having conversations with our general friends, and I would classify that, we've talked about general friends, we talked about close friends, we talked about the inner circle.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it's someone that's not following Christ, it's more than likely a general friend. It might be someone who is a close friend. But how do we have those conversations? Because we want them to know the same joy we know, plain and simple. Here's some things we need to know. We have to move past our own assumptions. We have already predetermined in our mind, because we see this person that lives this way and they don't attend church anywhere. So obviously we predetermined what they think about who God is. You may know a person who doesn't attend church regularly, so you assume that they think spiritual things are irrelevant. Why do we continue to assume that if there's no evidence to support it? Have you asked that person? What's the risk in asking? There is a risk, but your preconceived notion that you have, that assumption, that could be cheating you out of a conversation that possibly you're both interested in having. So move past assumptions. In conversations, you don't want to start off with your story of your testimony, your baptism, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your first several conversations may never include a single idea of your own. Ask them how they're doing, how they're really doing. And then listen to them. Ask about life and ideas and plans and achievements, concerns, their anxieties. Be intentionally respectful in this kind of a conversation. Yeah. Also, before you have this conversation, you need to know your truth, what you believe.
Mm.
You need to read daily into scripture and apply the words of Jesus and the words of the Apostle Paul to your life. These will nurture and ground your soul, and God, at that point, will use you when you know your truth.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Also, you need to share your stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody has stuff. Your life is not all together. Life is sometimes hard for everybody. Be appropriately but profoundly honest in these conversations. What leaves you dissatisfied? How you struggle? How you worry? The truth is that you believe that Jesus died for all the bad, inexplicable anguish and garbage going on in the world and going on in your own life. So tell your friend that. They will listen. Another thing when it comes to talking with those who might not know Christ that you have a friendship with is you need to let it go. You are going to invest in people by sharing your spiritual worldview, and that truth of what you share has power to transform.
Yeah.
When we start leaning into God conversations, the possibilities for life change is incredible. We are offering a peek inside of our own heart and mind that is sold out for God. That's a beautiful thing. This extension of yourself is going to be a gift that could truly transform your friend's experience of living. Mm. Or it might not. It might not happen. But we have to let that go. The potential conviction of knowing their need of Jesus might happen in their heart, and it's just as likely it might not. That's not your responsibility. It's not your job. It's a great goal to bring people to Christ, but don't make a person your project. Let it go. Continue to vulnerably invest and also deepen your own faith. Never stop being there for your friend. Focus on moving past the assumptions that we make and just realize that God has got this. Mm. Meaningful friendships. They're complicated.
They are.
We need them. But we also need to just realize that our friendships really can be defined in those three categories: our general friends, those that we consider close friends, and then that inner circle. And I can't stress enough how important it is for us to have that inner circle of friends.
Yeah.
And more than likely, it's not a bunch of people. It might be one person, two people, but they're vitally important for you to have. And you have to share together, knowing that that relationship is simply to bring glory to God.
I think that being careful with who you have your meaningful friendships with, and it doesn't matter if you have one, if you have 10, each one is important in their own way. I'm so thankful for my friends, and I feel like everyone should be thankful for their meaningful friends.
Okay, that wraps up the faith conversation for this week. Again, if you would like to throw a topic out to us or a question out to us, you can do that on the Kitchen Table group. You can find it on the Shine.fm Facebook page. Thank you so much for listening to that conversation. Now we're going to move into a segment we call Music Matters. In Music Matters, this is how it goes. I share a new song or a newer song that I found I really like. Hopefully I stump Jake and he has no idea about who it is. Mm. He tries to do the same thing for me.
I usually do.
Sometimes you do.
I usually do.
Maybe 70%. Okay, maybe 80.
There you go.
And then I will go back and do an oldie but goldie. I'll pull one from the past and bring that back just because the 80s were awesome. So let's start. I'll start with my new one. This is a new band. I don't think you've ever heard of it. And if you had, I'm going to be surprised. The band is called Switch.
I have.
Are you kidding?
Ah! I have.
I thought I had it.
Yeah.
Switch
Spotify.
Is...
Spotify.
Okay. Where's Switch from? Do you know?
No.
Life Church. Started in Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay.
Craig Rochelle.
Okay, yep.
They've got 32 locations, 11 states, online globally. Switch is actually a ministry from their middle school and high school. So
really?
They have 7,000 students in their ministry across the nation. And so Switch is basically a collaboration of music and worship from that ministry. They have a new album out or coming out. They have a new song called Symphony featuring Dylan Chase on lead vocals. And so I'm going to let them talk a little bit about the song, and then we will hear a little bit of Switch with their song Symphony.
Hey guys, this is Cassidy from Switch, and I'm here to share with you a little bit about our new single, Symphony. So this song started in the studio, just kind of a jam session, no real agenda. And the guys started laying down some beats and some tracks and stuff like you hear on the album, like that melody. So we were vibing that for a minute, and God started putting these words on my heart that kind of expressed some things that I had felt and heard from some of our students. How we experience all this chaos in our life. We experience hurt, we experience pain, and sometimes, you know, it's hard to breathe when all our thoughts are shouting at us. But what is God doing through that? And so we started to write a song that talked about, he's actually writing something beautiful, even through our pain. Even through the hurt that we don't understand, God is weaving and crafting a beautiful symphony. In Romans 8:28, God says that, "For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." So no matter what we face in this life, no matter what we do, what we experience, every hurt, every joy, all of it, he's working together in a beautiful master plan, a symphony.
'Cause even in the madness, there's peace. Drowning out the voices all around me through all of this chaos. You are writing a symphony.
They're a good band. I love them.
I'm excited to see these kinds of groups come around.
Yeah.
This modern worship, and it appeals to your generation. I think it's great.
Yeah. So my song for the week, I've used this band before, so that's probably the only reason you know them.
Yes.
They released new music, and I love it. King's Kaleidoscope, I've used a few of their songs before. It literally says 2019 on Spotify.
So like, it's brand new?
Brand new. It's a three-song EP. Mm-hmm. It's technically a single, and that's because each song is one part of that. The EP is called The Rush. One is Breathing Infinity, The Rush Part 1, and then it goes to three parts. But I really want to highlight on the third part, which is called On to the Light. It's a great song. It's got good words in it, and it's grooving. I love it. That's why I love King's Kaleidoscope. They do worship, but with a groove. Here's a little bit of On to the Light by King's Kaleidoscope.
Good stuff. Good music for the new year.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay, we've done our new stuff. Now we're going to move into an oldie but goldie. Mm. We're going to go back to 1988, the number five song of the year. This is by a band, Mylon and Broken Heart. Mylon Lefevre is the singer. Grew up in a Southern gospel family singing group. Traveled all over the place. The Singing Lefevres is what they called it. Mm. And he actually... he started singing backup with Elvis at a time.
Really?
Yeah. He's up there in age. He's probably your grandparents' age and is more of an evangelist now than music. Their band was super popular in the 80s, had great songs. And so this is the number five song from 1988, Mylon and Broken Heart. It's called Again and Again. Again, just great music. They were notorious. They had a keytar in their band, which is the keyboard like a guitar. Mm. Yeah.
I think that, totally that, 80s, that kind of died.
It did.
I bet it'll make a comeback.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't
else.
It?
Like everything else. Everything else is making a comeback.
So that wraps up Music Matters. Now we're going to go into a segment we call Culture Shock. Okay, so there's a phenomenon that's happening right now on Netflix. It's a series. I've not watched it. I've seen several people who have watched it and been commenting on social media.
Is it Bird Box?
It's not Bird Box, no.
That's a big common one.
That's a
one
movie.
Now.
This is a series, I believe. Oh, okay. I don't know how long. I think it's a Netflix original. It's I forget the actual title of the show, but it's like something about tidying up, and there is a lady named Marie Kondo. Mm-hmm. Who hosts this. I've not seen it, so I don't know all the details of it.
But the coincidence that her name is Kondo, and she cleans up houses. That's just kind of funny.
Irony. I've seen people that have turned her name into a verb. I've Marie Kondo'd my closet or whatever.
Oh my word.
I've seen it a couple times. And so I asked on social media earlier this week, when did her name become a verb? But apparently it is now. But I've not seen it, but I've been reading lots of commentaries about it. I'm a neat freak, married to someone who's not a neat freak.
And gave birth to someone who's not a neat freak.
Yes, unfortunately. I've tried my best and it never happened, never stuck. But she apparently talks a lot about joy and how reducing possessions and organizing and tidying up brings joy. And so I think that's where we need to point out that she gets joy wrong.
Hmm.
All right. She's inspiring so many people to let go of things, to use open space organization. But then she also says that this inspires joy. People that have done this, they feel lighter. They feel better. They have breathing room in their closets and their drawers. But joy is something else. We have to understand that joy, true joy, only comes from Christ. Material things can make us happy. Even those material open spaces or that organized drawer, that can make us happy. But joy is different than happiness. I've actually talked about this, I think, on the podcast before. We struggle with the joy concept. She's assuring the people on her show that this sparks joy because they feel this ting of excitement or warmth. But not everyone gets that at first.
Yeah.
Though they seem to understand it later on in the show. Now, if we look at this from a biblical perspective, we see things differently. It shouldn't surprise us. Some people don't understand what clothing, books, paper, the kimono, the sentimental items spark joy because none of these things actually do. A comfortable shirt might make us happy. Looking at wedding photos, bringing back those loving memories, these are not feelings of joy. It's happiness. Joy has something that happiness does not. Joy has Jesus. Happiness is temporary. It's an emotion. Joy is eternal. Joy is a state of being and not an emotion. Joy is anchored in Christ, and it cannot be swayed by worldly circumstances, what happens to us. When life stinks, when life bottoms out, when we know Christ, we still have that joy. That's how we can overcome. Our hope remains in the Savior. Consider some of these scriptures. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Romans 14:7. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when Scripture talks about joy, it's more than that ting that she talks about. It's a holy connection to Jesus Christ in our hearts. So there's nothing wrong with cleaning your house. As a neat freak, I'm all for it, right?
Yeah.
Donate those items that no longer serve you to a worthy cause. But understand that a tidy house is not going to bring you joy. Joy only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll close Culture Shock with this. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
You do get a sense of happiness when you do clean. Because
really? You do?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know I get a sense of happiness when you clean.
I know you do. I remember, actually, on my memories, it was like I had posted something, that I was surprising you that I cleaned my room and like my bathroom. And then you commented, I think I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah. It was a happiness heart attack.
Yeah, it was. But you get a sense of happiness when you clean because everything is in order and in its spot. With me, obviously, that goes away. it gets messy. I mean, life goes on. And I think that kind of represents how happiness is. Like, life gets messy and
happiness sometimes goes away.
Exactly. Have a forever clean room with God. There's my punchline for the week. Ooh,
that's tweetable. Okay, well, that wraps up Culture Shock. And that also brings a close of the kitchen table for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope that this brings you some sense of happiness. Not joy, but happiness. Go out there, make some good friends for your inner circle that love Jesus and that your relationship glorifies God together. That's our desire for you.
Mm-hmm.
And parents, as you talk to your teenagers and kids about friendships, vitally important that they have them. Just make sure that that's a part of it. And it's okay to step in when you see things change as a parent.
Yeah.
Openly cautious. Again, mm-hmm. That's the word. So one more time, if you want to reach out to us with a topic about anything that you want us to discuss here on the kitchen table, you can do that. Just join the shine.fm Facebook page and then look for the kitchen table group and we can let you join that as well. Yep. We can continue the conversation. So thank you so much for tuning in this week. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah, have fun.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.